Venerable religious and dear parishioners, today we begin the month of St. Joseph. We also begin the month of vocations. And we will speak about St. Joseph later on in the month. And we're already praying the daily prayers for his assistance in helping us to maintain this aging building. But I would like to speak about vocations today, since that is one of the spiritual themes assigned to this month. And particularly, I'll reflect on the priesthood and the religious life. When we think vocations, we tend to go to the idea of priesthood and religious life. But as we all well know, married life is a vocation, and so is the single state for those that are not called by God to become religious or married. The Catholic Church has always taught, and it's the teaching of St. Paul himself, that the highest of the three states in life is the religious life, to give one's whole life to God, which is essentially what the priesthood and the religious life is. In married life, the man and woman give themselves to each other in a godly context. And even though there isn't a formal act of giving oneself in the single state, nevertheless, there is a giving that one necessarily does. There's a commitment that's made in the single life to fulfill that mission that God has assigned to him or her. So that is the teaching of the church. It's the teaching of Scripture. It's been denied, of course, by modernists. And people without faith will look at a priest, a brother, or a sister and say, that doesn't make any sense. I remember a young lady who was Catholic, as a matter of fact, telling me something along the lines, I don't know how you do it. It's unnatural. You know, we have these inclinations by nature to be married, to own property, to have our own plan in life. And my response to her was, it's not unnatural, it's supernatural. We don't deny that there's a God-given right to own property, a right to self-determination, a right to marry, to choose a person to marry. But those three are given up not because they're bad, but because of the higher spiritual commitment. It's supernatural, obviously. And it's because the Lord tells that young man or that young woman, come follow me. And it's a special invitation. Just on Friday, I was reading the gospel for for the feast of Saint Gabriel of Our Mother of Sorrows, who was a young man who tended to be very worldly. He was handsome. He was popular. His father was wealthy. He had a great life ahead of him, and that's what he wanted. But he had also been taught a deep sense of piety and religion, so he was conflicted, and he was beginning to realize that he was being called to the higher state. But in the gospel, just to get back to that for a minute, the young man came up to our Lord after he had blessed the children and came up to him and said, Lord, what shall I do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. This is true of all of us. That's the only way we're going to get to heaven, is if we keep the commandments of God, not sin against them, at least not seriously. And the young man said, yes, but I've kept these. What more is necessary? And then the gospel tells us, then Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, give it all away. And the young man became very sad because he had a lot of possessions. At that moment, he was being given the invitation that our Lord had given to the apostles to leave everything behind and follow him. And the young man couldn't bring himself to do it. He went away. No, it's too much, too big of a sacrifice. He rejected the call. He said no to God. And he would have gained so much. By the way, we could say the religious life is a paradox. Besides being, it's not unnatural, it's supernatural, but it's also a paradox. But what's the paradox? Well, this happens so often in life. Here's the seeming contradiction. The more we give up, actually the more we receive. The more we sacrifice, the more we get. Of course, it's in spiritual dollars, not temporal dollars. As any priest or religious would tell you, our retirement plan is out of this world. It's not about building up treasure here on earth or doing our own thing. It's to follow in God's ways. And it doesn't mean it's because we're so good and great that God invited us, because God loved us more and he gave us that invitation. But anyway, St. Gabriel, to get back to him, was on the verge of rejecting that. As a matter of fact, he was already saying no to God. And it took a miracle. One day during a procession, a picture of Our Lady was being carried in procession, and he was there alongside the street as it's being carried in procession. And the eyes of the picture turned to St. Gabriel. And basically, Our Lady said, communicated to him, this is your last chance. If you reject this, you're going to lose your vocation, and you're going to, as St. Alphonsus Liguori says, most likely will a person who rejects the religious vocation that's given it by God will not save his or her soul, because the graces they need to save their souls are in the religious life. And fortunately, Gabriel Pacenti, the 18-year-old, didn't say no to God anymore. That special intervention of Our Lady helped him to say yes. And he not only became a passionist religious, he also was on the road to the priesthood. He died before he was ordained, but he became a canonized saint. So that's how important the choice of vocation is. It's not just about what do I want in life. It's really what does God want of me? And yes, he does choose a path for us in life. And we have to choose it willingly and generously and try to embrace it. If you're called to the priesthood, embrace it. Think of the good that you will be able to do. Countless souls you'll be able to help get to heaven, to be a spiritual father. We were just so blessed this past Friday to lay to rest a very faithful Catholic mother who, because of living her vocation as a Catholic mother and wife, gave us not just one son, but twin sons for the priesthood and the religious life. What if her sons had said no to God? Think of all of the spiritual devastation that happens because they would have said no to God. But they said yes to our Lord. They've been persevering for many years, have celebrated their silver jubilee in the priesthood. Their mother was such an inspiration as a Catholic lady, as a Catholic mother to them. If you're called to the married life, keep embracing it. And yes, the challenges are necessarily there. In recent weeks, I've had the opportunity to review a couple of movies that I'm sure most of you are familiar with. They're very good about emphasizing the sacredness of marriage, Fireproof and Courageous. And divorce should never be considered as an option. We know it's forbidden by the law of God. It's for life. And that option has to be ruled out. Unfortunately, in the greater society, the sanctity of marriage is just gone. It's absolutely gone. Not that I want to always sound negative about it, but that's the truth. And it's been reduced to a mere human contract, which the state thinks it has the right to break up. And now is even, insofar as unnatural marriage is concerned. But that option absolutely has to be ruled out, so you have to keep working at it, just as a priest and a religious has to keep working at his or her vocation, so too in the married life. Even in the single state, you have to keep working at it. And in dealing with the challenges that necessarily will be there, you grow in your character, you grow in your holiness. I was just listening to a talk on the sanctity of marriage recently, a radio program, and the talk was being given by a married woman, and she said, you know, our marriage today is completely different from the marriage we had when we first got married. Why? Because we've gone through changes. We've had to keep adjusting and meeting the challenges, but because of that, we've grown. That's the whole idea. To grow in our vocation. And those in the single state, even though, as I said, there's not that formal act of giving yourself to it, there could be. Once you realize I'm not called to be religious, I'm not called to be married, maybe make a formal dedication of yourself. And there are sacrifices there, the loneliness that is more so part of the single state than in the married life or the religious state. And also the perfect chastity that has to be observed in the single state. That's right, perfect chastity. It's the teaching of Scripture, the teaching of our Lord. So as we begin this month of March, I just wanted to reflect upon vocation and especially obviously I'm talking mainly to you young people, but I'm talking to the parents also. We have to cultivate vocation. We have to instill a spirit of piety and prayer in our children that will help them, or that will help encourage the religious life. And even if they're not called to the religious life, that spirit of prayer and piety has to be there in their married lives. I'll never forget of the young mother that told me when she was awed by her husband's patience with the children, and who had been in the religious life for a number of years before he realized it wasn't his vocation. She said to me, half seriously, half joking, "Father, I think every man who gets married should spend 2 years in the seminary." Because of the spiritual lessons that he will learn there that will make him a better father and a better husband. No, we're not taking sign-ups at the rectory. But you get the idea. You know, the religious life is absolutely wonderful insofar as the spiritual benefits. It's really following the apostles. Some of them were married. I think the majority were. We know St. Peter was married. He was called to leave his wife and children, and God provided for them. But they were now called to live a life of chastity. Their own plans. They were a god. If St. Peter wanted to be the best fisherman on Galilee, that plan was gone. He was now a fisher of men. And they didn't own property anymore individually. In other words, they basically took the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. They carried, they owned things in common. Sacrifices, yes, but what when St. Peter's saying to our Lord, what are we going to get for this? And Jesus said, you will receive the hundredfold. And even more so, you will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, your reward is great beyond comprehension. So we have to foster this piety. There has to be a prayer life going on in all families, because otherwise there will not be strong vocations to the priesthood, the religious life, further married life. I mean, you know, you think of what parents are called to do to try to raise saints in their homes. And then the single life, to become a saint there as well. So this is what we're called to. It's a very high standard. But let's just try to appreciate the holiness of our calling. Whatever call in life we are given, if you're a young person that's struggling, like St. Gabriel was, shall I listen to the call of our Lord or not? I assure you, listen to our Lord and say yes. It will be the best yes of your life. And you will have your hands full of reward in this life and especially in the next. Yes, there's sacrifices. Everybody has to sacrifice in their vocation. But it's worth it. It's for the plan. It's for the spiritual growth. So let's pray for more vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. And let's pray that all of us be sanctified in our calling, whatever it may be, and embrace it as generously and wholeheartedly as we can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.